And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We're a father and son team bringing you the latest news and health research from all over the world. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. This is Ted Brower, and Austin, it's so good to have you with us today. And you've got a new announcement. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a dad now. Had a great, healthy baby boy on Friday afternoon. Everything was about as good as it could have gotten as far as with the pregnancy. That was awesome. Super healthy, good shape already, very, very alert, breastfeeding's going good, so it's definitely a really, really awesome time. Great announcement. I appreciate all the support from you guys and all the emails you guys have been sending me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, good, good. You want to go ahead and get started, Austin, today, or you want me to go pick up the first story?
Yeah, I can get something out here. We've discussed with you guys numerous times about food, the processed food, especially the fast food pizzas, the fast food McDonald's, Whoppers, all that stuff now. Researchers at George Washington University now have linked fast food consumption to the presence of an extremely high amount of a harmful chemical known as phthalates. We've talked about this a few times in here. They're usually used in soaps, makeup products, and they're also used in different products with fast food manufacturing. I won't go into the entire detail of the research study because it's pretty long. What they did was, there was a very extensive survey from 2003 to 2010 with nearly 9,000 people. They did urine samples on three different groups of people as far as on how they ate food, whether they ate fast food, how much they did, and they found that there was usually very, very high amounts of phthalates in their body, primarily the DEHP and the DINP, reporting only as little as fast food from 24 hours. Showed very, very high levels of amounts. And what's interesting about this is these phthalates have been linked to a multitude of different issues now from what they're seeing. They used to not have much of an issue. Now they're seeing that it definitely increases a higher rate of infertility, especially among males. And even in 2012, they found a strong association between DEHP phthalates and diabetes. 2013, they found the exposure to phthalates massively increased various allergic diseases in children, and now in 2016 they just concluded that phthalates can have a significantly negative effect on child behavior. So that is one of the reasons why I tell you guys to massively limit fast food. I'm not saying that you can't ever have it in your life, period, but I'm saying do not make it a regular food source in your diet whatsoever. Most of this stuff is extremely toxic. It has very little, no nutritional value at all, and now they're starting to see that it has significantly long-term bad health effects, including infertility, which could be just one of the contributing causes that we're starting to see all across America with people that are having issues with infertility now. I've seen it a lot personally with a lot of friends here locally, and I can honestly say, now that I'm looking at it, a lot of the people I know that do have infertility issues, I would say they probably do eat a large portion of their diet is probably fast food or some type of fast food. So I thought I'd share that with you guys today.
And think about this too. You know, with guys, we have up to 90% reduction in sperm counts in the United States. We're getting the BPAs, we're getting the fluoride, we're getting the phthalates, we're getting all of these different chemicals in our food supply that are causing a reduction of sperm count. But now let's stop for 1 second. Let's say, for instance, okay, we have still production of sperm, but we have to ask ourselves, what is the quality of that sperm? Does that sperm, because, you know, sperm is constantly replaced in the male body. You know, every 2 or 3 days you get sperm continually replaces. And that's when the body does, it stores the sperm and it keeps it in the testicles. And that's why the testicles are away from the body to keep the sperm cooler. A lot of guys who wear the real tight underwear and stuff like that or real tight jeans, they have a problem with fertility also because they simply overheat the testicles, which overheats the sperm, which kills it. And the same thing with hot tubs and hot showers and all of that kind of stuff. Same thing with athletes if they wear a lot of jock straps and stuff like that when they're working out. And I know it's getting real personal, but I'm just telling you guys what's going on here with a lot of the sperm stuff because that's one of the biggest problems right now. It's not just women. The women are getting sterilized because of the Gardasil shots. I mean, it's causing massive sterility in women all over the world. But the men are being sterilized because of all these chemicals in the food supply, causing up to a 90% reduction of sperm counts in the United States in men. The best thing you can do for that we've seen is vitamin E, 1600 IUs a day, and zinc. 100 milligrams a day, it'll massively increase the viability and the motility of the sperm and give you a much higher chance of, you know, allowing your wife to get pregnant. But remember, if you're building sperm off of junk food, you're not going to have real healthy sperm. That's the problem. And so even if the sperm does happen to make it to an egg, you have an unhealthy sperm. See, what the way sperm used to work is you have 200 million sperm, and it's the fastest swimmer, the strongest sperm, the strongest athlete of the batch, so to speak, make it to the egg first. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but that's what happens. But, you know, if you got one straggles around who could barely get up in the morning and who's walking around with a cane and crutches and he happens to float that way and he finds an egg, he may fertilize it. But what kind of quality embryo are you going to produce? And I know I'm being a little bit facetious here, but I mean, to think about it, guys, I mean, the quality of your offspring are going to depend upon the quality.
All right, guys, I don't know what's going on with Dad's Skype again. It looks like we lost him. So I will go ahead and continue to take over. I was just informed I'm still live. Nez New now. California cops are going to start checking bicycle speeds with radar and ticket fast bikes, as if threatening government force to extort money from drivers who exceed speed limits on the highway is not bad enough. Now police in California will begin issuing tickets to speeding bicyclists as well. You guys already know my stance on that. I'm a very big fan of Texas, because they allow their speed limit to be raised in a lot of those interstate areas to 85 miles an hour. I think there's that one stretch over there on I-10 or somewhere, if I'm not mistaken, that's a 100-mile-an-hour speed limit. In my opinion, if you're driving in a safe manner in a vehicle that can handle those speeds safely, there's absolutely no reason to be giving you a traffic citation. Now, aggressive, violent, you know, reckless driving, that's a completely different story. I'm completely for law enforcement being able to control that, because that can really contribute massive increase in fatalities and everything else. But this in California now is completely out of control. Earlier this month, Marin County Parks officials launched a new enforcement program to enforce speed limits on bicycles. So what they're doing is, in all the county, all the parks around this area, they are saying that there's a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit now, and it's not because there's been an increase in anything. They haven't had more wrecks or more problems in the last couple of years. What they're saying is they want to give people the idea that they need to drive a safe speed. Now, 15 miles an hour on a bicycle is a fairly decent speed, but most bicycles are capable of much higher than that. So citing people for that, especially, and the biggest thing they have about it is, instead of people being held, you know, responsible, if there's an incident, if there is a wreck, if there's a collision or an irresponsible act, you know, there needs to be obviously somebody that is held responsible. Now making all cyclists punished if they go over 15 miles an hour is ridiculous. They said that now, after a few collisions involving cyclists, which is pretty common, instances where speed was unknown, the government reacts by sending in the armed agents of the state. The action will once again allow for 7-day-a-week law enforcement coverage in the county's parkland. This move by city officials could come to no surprise, as the state's only available tool to incite change or extortion and violence. That's pretty interesting, especially the fact that you see California taxing more and more and more out in that state to try and keep their budget going and try and keep funds available. Now they're ticketing bicyclists. Pretty pathetic, if you ask me. You back with us, Dad?
I'm back. How much did we talk about sperm viability that I actually talk about? Because I went on and on and on until I finally figured I was disconnected.
Yeah, you pretty much cut out right when you were discussing about building sperm on fast foods, not usually pretty good, and the facetious of, you know, the sperm coming in on a cane is probably not going to build a very good embryo.
Oh, well, I'm covering enough on that, man. But everybody got a good laugh on that one. Let's talk about Disney right now. Disney is absolutely trying to distance itself, because it actually came in and it wanted Disney back in 2015 asked for a nutritional study of children's meals served at Disney World. Yeah. Because they wanted to show they were healthy.
Yeah, okay.
And what happened is the guy who was doing the research accepted a $550,000 research grant from Coca-Cola while research on obesity, and tied it all together with Disney. And finally, the guy said that drinking sodas with all the high fructose corn syrup was good for you, and it didn't make kids fat. And the only reason kids got fat is because they weren't going out and exercising enough. And that was immediately discredited. The whole study was discredited. I heard the guy on the radio talking about it. The guy was a complete and total blithering idiot. I mean, how can you not say that a cola, the big gulp or whatever that has, you know, 1,000 calories is not a, you can't burn off that many calories. And so that's what he was talking about. So Disney now is going, oh no, man, we got ourselves in the middle of this stuff. We helped pay for this. And so now they're trying to distance themselves and say, oh, this is not what we had in mind. So again, Disney strikes again, the big mind control organization that is Walt Disney's, that he would actually roll over in the grave, or maybe he pretended that, or maybe he wanted that. After you watch the movie Fantasia, it kind of makes you think that he kind of wanted to be that way anyhow. What's your next movie? What's your next story, Austin?
Checkmate, Disney. You guys know me. I don't support Disney at all. I'm really not a big fan of them after some stuff that I've experienced there. But I can tell you with all certainty, I have been there numerous times, probably hundreds of times actually since I've been a child. And I would never classify any of their meals, especially children's meals, as healthy unless you go to possibly some of their upscale restaurants. And then at that point, you know, you're probably going to pay $40, $50 for a normal meal over there, because everything at Disney, you can just add a zero to the end of it. Normal price stuff, just add a zero. That's pretty much what they charge for it.
You know, I'll never forget, Austin, when they first started it, that years and years ago, they had turkey legs.
Yeah,
and
they
were all rotisserie grilled, and they were delicious, right? And they were like $3 for a turkey leg. And I thought, okay, you know, two people could eat a turkey leg and get
pretty
full.
They're big.
They're huge. They're huge, these giant turkey legs. And so I'd pay $3, and then pretty soon it was $4. Pretty soon it was $5. Pretty soon it was $6. Pretty soon it was $7. Pretty soon it was $8. I don't know what they are now. I haven't been there in a couple of years. But the truth of the matter is, what they kept doing is they kept raising all the prices of the restaurants, and all the people who wanted to eat clean and not a bunch of junk, who just wanted a good protein snack, started buying the turkey legs, and they did a price point match on them to see how much they could charge for a turkey leg before people stopped buying them. So now you're paying close to $10 for a turkey leg.
Well, if you remember last time we were there, the last incident that I experienced at Disney that I've discussed here on the show, so I'm not going to go into it again, I bought a turkey leg, and I specifically remember it was $12, and the size of it had shrunk down to barely a good enough meal to fill me. Now, granted, I understand, because I've gotten bigger since I was small when I went there, so I eat much more than I did when I was 2 years old. However, these turkey legs have gotten much smaller, and the price has gone up tremendously. I actually brought the turkey leg back and got a refund on it. I'm not joking.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was so small. I ate like half of it, and I was like, the texture wasn't good. It did not have the quality of the meat that it used to be. I noticed that I was going to pretty much just demolish this turkey leg, and I wasn't even going to be full. I spent $12 on it, and so I took it back in there. I stuck it back at them. I said, this thing's horrible. I don't want it. I want my refund back. And I do have to give them credit. They didn't even ask me a question. The manager came over, said, here's your money back. He took it, and he said, you can throw it in the trash right beside here. That was it. They didn't bug me about it. They didn't bring anything up about it. That was the extent of it. So I do have to give them, the return policy was pretty exceptional on a half-eaten turkey leg, though.
Well, you know, the thing about Disney is nothing that ever happens there gets reported in the press here in Central Florida.
That's true.
Child abductions occur there, and everything else happens there. I mean, it's a pretty dangerous place. You got to hang on to your kids. And I'm just being honest with you guys, because we live closer. We live 20 minutes away. And, I mean, I've known some stuff about that place that would actually curl your toes. It's that bad. And so we don't really support them any longer. We stay away from them, and we just figured that, you know, it's not going to be something we're going to be involved in over there anymore. Plus, now they're putting it through metal detectors and everything else, and pat downs or whatever they're planning on doing, you know, in order to get you into the park. And see, I don't want to be involved with all that, because the thing about it is, if somebody goes berserkoid over there and they go pick up a chair and start beating people with it, you know, and nobody's going to be able to defend themselves. And see, that's the problem I have with being disarmed in a place like that. Plus, there's so many people who work there that are Muslim that they could actually come in through the back door. They don't go through any metal detectors.
Yep.
And they could go berserk one day. They could bring in a 45. You know, they could. What's that big pistol I have, Austin? That's the FNN.
1911? Oh, the FNN.
The FNN holds 15 rounds. Is it the 1911 FNN? Put it there behind. Slide it down their back pocket. You know, they're back, bring about 4 or 5 magazines, and just start cleaning house with 60 or 70 rounds. Nobody is armed. Security's not armed. And they could wipe that place out. And I'm talking employees doing this now, not the guests. And nobody could defend themselves. And so I've got a real problem with that. I don't like being somewhere, especially in the state of Florida, because I'm licensed to carry here, without having a weapon with me. And I remember one time I walked in the Disney World and somebody apparently had seen a silhouette on my pants and it looked similar to a gun. And I remember I walked up, this is the Magic Kingdom, this was about 10 years ago, and I remember the guy said to me, and so all of a sudden security comes running around me, like two of the guys come and say, we need to talk to you. And I said, well, what do you need to talk to me about? They said, well, we need to know what you got in your right front pocket. I said, it's none of your business what I've got in my right front pocket. And they said, well, you're on private property, it is. And they said, we want you to empty your pockets. And I said, if I empty my pockets right here, we're going to have a major problem. Because, you know, I didn't want to brandish that weapon, right? And then they said, are you carrying a gun? I said, it's none of your business. And they said, well, we're going to dispatch Orlando Police Department to have you extricated from this park. Your tickets are going to be confiscated. Your passes are going to be confiscated. You will never be allowed on Disney property again unless you tell us what's in your front pocket. I'm not joking you. And finally I said, well, I'm carrying a 1911. And they said, well, you can take it back to the car. And then they said, then they canceled the police call. They said, you can take it back to your car and we'll escort you to your vehicle, or you can put it in lockup and we'll give it back to you after you leave. And I said, well, we'll put it in lockup. I don't want to drive all the way, or go by all the way back to the car through the monorail system and all that. And that's what I did. And I thought to myself, you know, I feel so, you know, out of touch here with people as far as not being able to defend myself, because we've run into some crazy people at Disney World. I'm talking psychotic people, nut people who didn't take their meds that day. And so, you know, and Austin and I both experienced that. In fact, the whole group we were with experienced that. So, you know, guys, I tell you what, we call Mickey Mouse the rat. We just leave the rat alone here. Most of the people who are local in Florida who live close to this place, they don't go there. It's just a tourist trap's what it is. Super expensive food, very low quality food in most of the areas. I mean, some of the food was so bad. I remember one time, Austin, remember we ate at that one restaurant and we got hamburgers, and they were so bad that you literally couldn't eat them. They were so awful. That was that one restaurant on way. I think that was the Polynesian. And I mean, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible to go there. And so now we've got some friends who work there, and every once in a while, you know, the kids may want to go with a friend, and I'll say, you guys go ahead. We'll get you in. I don't care, but I am not going. I'm not going. I have no interest in going back. Like you said, we've been there hundreds of times. I have no interest in going back. So anyhow, so we avoid the rat here in Central Florida. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You guys know last couple of weeks, a lot of stuff has been coming about with Congress trying to bringing out information about the true redacted 9/11 report, and also what the Saudis did in it. Now the Obama administration has been significantly lobbying Congress to block a bill that would actually allow the Saudi Arabia's government to be held accountable in American courts if any role was played in the 9/11 terrorist attack. So you would think, oh, well, if they didn't have anything to do with it, they wouldn't care if it got brought out and the true 28 pages that were redacted got released. Well, it's funny now, the Obama's effort is trying to keep all the information about 9/11 confidential. Now Saudi Arabia has threatened to sell hundreds of billions of dollars worth of American assets if Congress passes the bill, which that should be a big, giant red flag up in the sky, guy, that these guys knew exactly what was involved with it. They're the ones that were culpable or at least partly involved in it. And now in the recent weeks, the Obama administration has also been warning lawmakers that the bill may have potential economic fallout if they pass it. The Obama administration's strict opposition to the 9/11 bill has left many, many family members of the 9/11 terror attack victims outraged. I was reading it earlier here, and there's all these families that are unbelievably mad about it. So what happened was this 9/11 bill would eliminate the immunity for nations found culpable of terrorist attacks that killed Americans on American soil. So if Saudi was implicated in this and those 28 pages really got exposed, there's a strong possibility, because remember the classified congressional inquiry in 2002, which it cited that, from what I have been told and what I have read, it cited that there was some type of evidence that members of the Saudi government played a role in the 9/11 attacks. Even Trump has gone over to this multiple times. He's implied this. There's a lot of people that have said this, and I do not think this is just a rumor that would have been spreading around without anybody knowing about it. Not when you put all the stuff together with the Saudis flying on their private jets, the only individuals that were not grounded in that area. But nonetheless, the Obama administration argues that limiting foreign nations' immunity would put the American government, as well as its citizens and corporations, at risk of lawsuits if foreign nations were to retaliate with their own legislation. You joking me right now? After what happened, how many thousands of people died on that, and that we're worried about the retaliation from other countries if they find out they're involved in it? It's just a smokescreen again, because they do not want that information getting leaked out. More than likely, my opinion, the CIA, the Israeli government, the Saudi Arabian government, all these guys were completely complicit in that attack. They don't want that information getting out at all. So now they're using that it could damage the economy if they release it, which is complete and total nonsense, in my opinion.
Well, the truth of the matter is, the guys, the Saudi, and think about this. The 9/11 Commission, they were blocked, and they've said publicly that they were blocked as far as doing proper research on what happened with 9/11. Yep. Every step of the way, the government blocked them, and yet they still were able to put 28 pages of Saudi involvement in the 9/11 report that had to be redacted by the government because it was so damning against Saudi Arabia. Now, think about this. We know the Mossad was involved. We know the Saudi was involved. We know the CIA was involved, and the CIA, because they were involved, high levels of our military were involved, and we know we had rogue elements of our government involved. All of these people orchestrated this, and also you had the mafia involved. They're always involved in everything because that's the drug running thing. So all of these guys got together to do this giant human sacrifice on 9/11 to bring in their demons or whatever they wanted to bring in. We talked about this on Friday night on Hagman's show, and I've talked about it at length on Dave Hodges' show a couple weeks ago. And this is the giant satanic sacrifice is what it was. You know, the giant pillars of these people were being sacrificed between, and in the middle of this entire event, that giant demon head showed up in the smoke. And I mean, everybody remembers that. That's not like we're even making anything up here. And it was shown repeatedly by all these news stories, and it was said it was not computer generated. So they did some kind of giant sacrificial service there that day, and these guys were all involved in it. Because remember, I've said this to you guys many times, we the people of the United States have gotten screwed because we've allowed ourselves to get screwed. Okay, we gave our authority, our rights, the ability to vote, to put in a government by the people, for the people, and we put these stinking lowlife in Congress and in the Senate, and these guys do whatever they want to do based upon who's blackmailing them at the latest point or how many boys they want to screw. They're a bunch of sickos is what they are. A bunch of pedophile, weirdo, sicko, Satan groups is what they are. And what ends up happening is we've given this sicko group our authority. They've turned around, they've given it over to the military. The military, because it's being run by the CIA at the highest levels, has control of that. The CIA has turned it over to the black magicians and the sorcerers, and the sorcerers are all now turning it over to the artificial intelligence they're tying us all in through with the Morgellons antenna. And I've said this over and over and over again, but the Saudis, the CIA, the Mossad, rogue elements of the government were all complicit in 9/11. And they don't want to open that can of worms. And here's why. The statute of limitations for death, Austin, never runs out for murder. It never runs out. And they know if these guys get convicted and indicted for this, they can be hung or face the death penalty or basically be electrocuted or whatever they're going to do to them. That's why they're so panicky about this. The Kennedy administration, when Kennedy got shot 50 years ago, that's been so long ago now that almost everybody involved in it, except for H.W. Bush, is dead. They've all died. There's really not a lot of blowback from that particular murder because all the people involved either were murdered almost immediately or murdered within 10 to 12 years afterwards or whatever. But this 9/11 thing is still very, very fresh on the people's minds in the United States. And now that Building 7 has come out and people finally understand what Building 7 was, and it was a Solomon building, it's Solomon's temple, right overlooking 9/11 sacrificial site. Are you joking? This thing's a mess. And if the thing about it is, if we don't get to the bottom of what happened at 9/11, which we may or may not, because the rogue elements of the government are still running everything, then the United States is going to be lost. We're going to go into the ash heap of world history, and we're going to become a basically combined with Mexico and Canada into this North American Union, and we will lose our sovereignty, just like so many of the countries now in the European Union have done. This is the mess that they're into. I mean, Angela Merkel is so out of touch with reality, Austin. She's having people arrested and tried for putting tweets out or a Facebook post about what the Muslims are doing. Just telling the truth. Just telling the truth. They're being arrested and held and tried. Unbelievable. Because you can't tell the truth in Germany anymore. Because it's not politically correct. That's how out of touch they've forced the Germans to become. And the entire European community, along with the Germans, have had enough of it. And I hope and I pray that the people in the United States are going to stand in the aggregate, They're going to put Donald Trump in, and we're going to get the 28 pages of the redacted 9/11 commission report released, and we're going to do a full investigation on what happened with Building 7, which isn't even mentioned, by the way, in the 9/11 commission report. And we go into detail with what happened to all the gold that was in 9/11 and the towers and all that other stuff that nobody bothered to talk about. But that's what we need to talk about, is how Building 7 fell down by itself. The whole thing is a joke. They must think that we're all so stoned out on fluoride and statin drugs that we can't even think anymore. Well, I got a news flash. We're not all stupid. And some of us have figured out that something else is going on, and we've talked about it, and we've told our friends about it, and now there's 60% of the population believes that we weren't told the truth about 9/11, Austin. And some people, some groups are even higher than that. Anybody who has an internet access, the only people who believe any of this nonsense now, that it's all true what the government said, are pretty much the people that are over 60 years of age that don't even go online, don't even have computers, don't have iPads, because they don't get exposed to alternative news. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I still remember the time when you were teaching that that class as a guest over at Southeastern University. Yep. Remember, you asked everybody in class who went there, said, how many of y'all think that we were not told the entire truth about 9/11. Remember,
every single person
in there raised their hand.
And remember, these kids were young. When 9/11 happened with these kids, they were like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. You
yep.
see, these guys all have their iPhones, and they're all looking at stuff all the time. See, it's the younger generation that doesn't believe in the medical profession, doesn't want to do the immunizations anymore, the 20-year-old plus. So many of them have awakened because they've seen so many problems with autism and so many problems. I mean, doctors running around with a stethoscope acting like they're a priest now, telling everybody what to do. They don't buy that nonsense anymore. In fact, if you read the book by Dr. Robert Mendelsohn back in the 80s, excellent book. It's called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. He equates the entire medical profession as to being a religious cult, in which they actually come in and they have their magic little things they do with everybody, and everybody looks to them as gods, and how it's ridiculous. That's why he called himself a medical heretic, that he had stepped away from the faith of medicine and he didn't believe the lies anymore. And so now you see people like, you know, like Disney saying, oh my God, we got involved with all this, all these lies saying that Coca-Cola is good for you. No, it's not. Coke's not good for you. I got an newsflash. It's not healthy. It's got phosphoric acid in it. It dissolves calcium in bones. And it dissolves tooth enamel. It's awful. Now, let me get off that topic. Transgender preacher tells the congregation that an angel of reason told him that the Bible was wrong and helped him affirm his desire to become female. I saw this and I thought, you know, can I really even talk about this? And I thought, yeah, I'm going to make it really, really easy for them. Just go in the shower and look down between your legs and tell me if you're a boy or a girl. And that's the easiest way for you to tell, since you seem to be too stupid to figure that out on your own. It's not okay. The Word of God says it's not okay. It says it's not okay in Leviticus. It says it's not okay in the book of Deuteronomy. And it says it's not okay in Romans. You know, if you want to do all of this stuff and you want to act like this and you want to do this, whatever. But don't get in front of groups of people and start dissing the Word of God and saying the Bible was wrong and you've got angels showing up to you. Probably some kind of stinking demon or something showed up to him telling him the stuff was okay, since we know there's a bunch of fallen angels running around too. And even Lucifer himself runs around masquerading as an angel of light. So, guys, I'm telling you this. The Sabbatane Frankist, Kabbalist, Khazarian group of wackos that love to worship Lucifer and do all these crazy things to try to control the attention field on the planet, these guys can also conjure up demons and fallen angels, as far as I'm concerned, and every other thing you want to try to pull up. I saw what happened with the 9/11 thing, with that big thing of smoke. These guys are wicked, wicked, wicked to the core. Remember, according to a lot of research, we have a multidimensional universe. The top universe, the top dimension where God lives, let's say it's the 13th dimension, has authority over all of the rest of it. Lucifer was cast down from that, but he has authority over all the rest of it, including our planet. So he can give you the stuff that you want if you worship him, but there's a cost of your soul. That's what he does. But when we become a Christian and we link to God through the Holy Spirit to the 13th dimension, we literally, God shares with us his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence. And he allows us the authority that he's given us. That's why Lucifer then becomes under our feet, and we have authority over him, and we are not of here. We're just passing through. You have to understand who you are as a Christian and the power and the authority that you've been given as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's super important that you get that. And see, that's what most people don't understand. So this guy comes in, says stuff like this, drags people down this ditch with him. Oh, he saw an angel. He saw an angel. Well, no, he probably saw some stinking demon, some fallen entity, and now he's thinking he saw an angel. Or if he saw anything, or if he's just making it up, or he was taking too many drugs and he started hallucinating. I mean, all these stupid prescription drugs cause hallucination. Nuttiest stuff I've ever heard of, Austin. What do you think about that story?
Well, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, because the thing, one thing that we've all learned as Christians is that God does not contradict himself whatsoever, and he's not going to sit there and put things in stone in the New Testament and tell us, you know, don't engage in this type of behavior. That's forbidden. You know, basically, I detest that, and then go to one single person as an angel and say, well, it's okay. Don't worry about that. It's fine. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Like you said, though, he's probably on too many doggone medications. He's probably hallucinating, stacking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 medications together.
Or seeing demons.
Yeah, or demons, or both, combination of both, which in my opinion, from what I've spoken to a lot of people, a lot of these antidepressant drugs and these benzodiazepines and stuff like that, it makes your psyche and your mind and your spirit and your overall soul much more susceptible to that type of exposure from negative entities, because your body is not in a clear frame of mind. It's been compromised from some of these drugs and what they do to your body. That's just my opinion on it. You can look that up online.
No, and also think about this. No, the one, yeah. Let me, I got to say one more thing about this. This is one of our little pet peeves here. Here's the thing. Okay, here's the deal. God is omnipresent. Now, everybody understands who read the scripture what that means. That means he covers all timelines. He can go back in time, forward in time, and he's in all times at the same time. He's here. He's got the ability. He circumvents space-time because he's in a different dimension. And he's in all times and all realities at the same. We talked about this in detail. When Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, he's still hanging on the cross, but he's also still in heaven with God at the right hand of the throne. But the reality is that his blood transfers and transmits through scalar waves, through a step-up transformer coil that we call the double helix, you know, the healing frequency for us to be restored to become the righteousness of Christ. I've done whole shows on this. But what's interesting about this, now everybody follow my line of reasoning for a second. If God is omnipresent, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means he's just the same person in all the timelines. He doesn't change. He doesn't have one opinion in the past, one opinion in the future, because he hasn't changed. He's in all timelines. He's omnipresent. He doesn't change. His opinion is the same whether he's in the timeline of today, tomorrow, or yesterday. It doesn't make any difference because he doesn't leave his existence to change timelines. He's in the same place all the time. That's what omnipresence means. He's everywhere at once. So he can't be schizoid and tell you certain things in the Old Testament he gave to Moses and turn around and say in the New Testament, oh, by the way, I'm going to send an angel. Because he's still in the Old Testament and he's still in the future. It doesn't work that way. That's why Jesus said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he says, I tell you the truth, not one jot, one tittle shall be taken away from this word until all of these things are accomplished. See, that's the difference. In the Old Testament, there were four Old Testament precepts. God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the dietary laws, and the sanitary laws. When God came, he forever changed. When Jesus came, he changed God's relationship to man and man's relationship to man. He never changed the sanitary laws. He never changed the dietary laws. That's why he warns you in the book of Deuteronomy, if you don't listen and do what he tells you to do as far as personal hygiene and nutrition and health, then you're going to have all these long and lingering diseases that are going to come upon you, including the cancer, which we assume that's what he's talking about with long and lingering diseases and wasting diseases. And what's interesting about this is people are trying to put words in God's mouth. God already gave us his word. We already know what it says. We don't need to have some demon spirit show up and start telling us, oh, by the way, this really isn't what he meant back then. The Bible was wrong, and I'm clarifying because I want to be a girl. No, you got screwed over, dude. You probably got a bunch of BPA in your diet when you were a baby. You probably got given soy protein. You got castrated in utero. It wasn't your fault, and now you're trying to justify because you have a right-brain female, and you're trying to figure out what you are. That's not your fault, to be honest with you. That's the fault of these doggone Rockefeller groups of weirdos who put all these poisons in the food supply. But don't try to justify what happened to you now and who you think you want to be and tell us all that God rewrote his word for you. Anyhow, I can't do any better than that. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to address, too, from this morning, I went to our local doctor here. He's a pediatrician, Dr. Todd Robinson. He's awesome.
Good man.
And he won't do vaccines if you don't want to. He will do them if you want to do them. He'll do single ones if you want. He'll do you know, by themselves, which some people do. Like, I got my tetanus shot from him when I was 12 when I went to camp. And it was interesting because we were talking to him this morning for the first checkup for baby Hunter, who's 4 days old now. And he said, you guys have to understand, he said, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever to do any type of vaccinations while a mother is breastfeeding. Now, he's not really pro-vaccine. He's not really anti-vaccine. He's kind of in the middle somewhere. But he was just giving us, you know, basically an idea on it. He said, when a mother is breastfeeding, he goes, everything she's been exposed to, everything she's been vaccinated for, everything she basically is immune from is turned over to that child, and that child is immune from all that while he's breastfeeding. Now, once he's not breastfeeding anymore, that can obviously, he's going to have to build his own immunity on his own from certain things. He said, but these doctors that come in and these women are breastfeeding these kids and they want to give them these 6 and 7, 8 shots when they're 6 months old and they're still breastfeeding, he said, is unbelievably stupid because there's no reason at all to immunize a child that's breastfeeding with its mother. Now, obviously, if you have other things going on, if you're not breastfeeding, you have to make your own choice on that. Like we've told you guys numerous times, do your research, make your own choice. But I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to let you guys know about that. So if your wife or your spouse has been vaccinated, if she has gotten chicken pox, if she's gotten all this stuff, there's a pretty much a 99% probability that he's not going to contract this while he's breastfeeding, which is pretty interesting that I found out. So I just thought I'd share that with everybody and let them know that there's, when you're breastfeeding, this whole fear-mongering that the pediatricians like to put into you, that you need to get your vaccines now. He said the only reason for a vaccine, that you really, truly need to do a vaccine, he goes, it needs to hit at least 2 points. It needs to be very easily to get, like extremely easily to, you know, to contract, and it needs to be severely life-threatening. And he said, really, the only thing that can fall into those two categories is tetanus. He said, that's it. He said, polio can be extremely bad, but it's near impossible to contract, and so forth with a lot of the other vaccines. So there's no reason to be shooting these kids up with these massive doses of vaccines that are unbelievably rare to ever get them, and the side effects that go along with the vaccines are so much more severe in most cases than a lot of these things even produce. He's like, rubella, he said, that's usually gone in like 3 days. He goes, but they're putting them in all these vaccines, and they do them all together as well. He said, so if you ever had to do something, he said, tetanus is the only one he would ever recommend. And I had the same one when I was 12, and he can order them in vials, only single vial tetanus only, not with diphtheria, not with anything else, only with that. So I thought that was interesting. He told me that, though, that while you're breastfeeding, vaccine's completely and totally non-reasonable to do at all. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. And since I guess we lost that again, since I don't know what's going on with this Skype, hope he gets that fixed soon. The Dyson hand dryers now are like setting off a viral bomb in the bathroom. I wanted to address that. You see this a lot of times, the Dyson Airblade, which are at almost all the new fancy bathrooms now. Those little hand things that you put your hands in and you air blow them. You put your hands, you know, put your hands flat. I've seen them. I've used them multiple times. I've always thought they were rather sketchy as far as their useful purpose. And I've always liked paper towels. Granted, a lot of people don't like that because they say you're wasting paper. However, it's much more sanitary. And bathrooms, as you know, are prime location for smearing disease microbes all over your hands. I mean, just touching anything in there, strong possibility you're going to get something on your hands. And researchers have long known that the hand dryers can launch bacteria in the air compared to paper towels, which unleash virtually none. But new jet air dryers made by Dyson are significantly more problematic. Interesting, too, is the problem is the Dyson Airblade and the Dyson air dryers are one of the most readily used ones that are going into the bathrooms out all over the places, restaurants, movie theaters, you name them, a lot of people have them. Especially down here in Florida. Now, I'm sure some states there's probably a little bit of difference on that, but that's one of the main things. What happens is the researchers recently reported in the Journal of Applied Microbiology for the studies, the author Patrick Kimmick and Keith Redway of the University of Webster compared the viral explosions from paper towels a standard basic hand dryer, and a Dyson Airblade jet dryer. The researchers had two participants slather their gloves with a virus called NS2, which infects only bacteria, but is a model for the spread of non-developed human viruses such as the norovirus. And essentially what they did was they took these plates of different heights, six different heights. So basically the lowest one would be like a child's height and on up to a full-size male height. And what they did was they checked it and they put this thin layer of MS2 so it would disperse when it went out. And they could actually see with the plates they're using, the splatter, because they used a thin layer of E. coli on them, so they could actually see splatter. Researchers set plates at six heights right next to the drying source, from adult head down to leg height of small children. They also placed nine plates around the bathroom from 0 to 3 meters. 3 meters is like 9 feet, almost 10 feet, which is a pretty good distance away from an air dryer. By far, the jet dryer was the biggest viral spreader in every single measurement. The data from all six heights together, the Dyson produced 60 times more plaques than the warm air dryer and 1,300 times more than the paper towel. Of the viruses launched by the jet dryer, 70% were at the height of a small child's face. But that was interesting because, when you know, when it's pretty low, what it does is immediately launches it with like a blowback right in your face. Now, and when they tested it, most of the jet-dried launch viruses landed about 0.25 meters away. But they did find it all the way out to 3 meters, considering the fact that it would probably went even further if they tried it as well. So what's interesting about this is that these things are not what you think they are. Now, granted, a lot of people are going to argue and say, well, you're only using them after you wash your hands. Well, that's if you're assuming that the hands are being washed properly, that there's no, you know, E. coli on the hands from going to the bathroom. You're getting all the bacteria off your hands, and then you're using it, which I've seen numerous times in public bathrooms. People come out of a stall, and they'll walk over, like splash some water on their fingers real quick and make themselves feel like they washed their hands, and they don't. You clearly see they don't. And then the worst is when they go to the air dryer, because not only do you have bacteria and E. coli on the hands, more than likely, it's got water all over it. So it's got a carrier. Now you're putting it in this Dyson Airblade, and you're shooting it all over the bathroom, up to 3 meters, they said, and probably even further. So that's something that you guys just need to think about. I always try and opt for paper towels. Like I said, I know they're not green. I know you're wasting paper. But when it comes to health and staying healthy and not contracting something in a public bathroom, I think it's much smarter to use a paper towel. A lot of places give you both options, but some places now, with a big irritant to me, they completely take your options away. They don't have anything else but the Dyson air dryers. I've seen that regularly now to cut down on cost, it does. But, again, you got to really question using these things, especially when you see people blowing these all over the place when they don't wash their hands properly. This stuff goes airborne, too, guys. Remember, that's in water molecules after you wash your hands. So it goes airborne in water vapor all over the bathroom. Everybody's breathing it as well. You're taking it into your lungs. Just keep that in your mind when you go to the bathroom next time you see these things. I just wanted to keep everybody informed on those.
Well, you're right, Austin. And the thing about it is with the Dysons, and remember, I'm going to regress for 1 second. Back when I was in the biochemical genetics program at Florida State, I spent 400 hours in the biochemical genetics lab one semester in the Conradi building, which has been torn down since then. But that was, gosh, that was back in the 70s. And I'll never forget, we actually took cotton swabs and we went and we touched all outside surfaces, stairwells, elevator buttons, bathroom sinks, toilet handles, stall doors, everything. We touched everything and put all these petri dishes together. We touched one thing, swab a petri dish, another thing, swab a petri dish, label the petri dish where it came from. And every single time we did that, we could grow fecal coliform, which is basically poop, from the areas that we touched. Every area. Every single area had fecal coliform on it. Every toilet handle, every bathroom door, every light switch, every elevator button, everything had fecal coliform on it. All of them. And what was interesting about this is, a few years ago, we were on a Holland American cruise ship, which I don't recommend Holland American at all. That's my opinion. And we ended up in a situation where they had a code red lockdown in which they had projectile vomiting all over the ship from the norovirus. I mean, it was awful. And it was horrible. The CDC actually put the entire ship into a code red lockdown. Projectile vomiting in the hallways. And you see how much I haven't been on a cruise since after that experience. But what was interesting about all of this is when you go into a bathroom, the door's covered in feces. That's fact. I'm just going to tell you what it is. It's got hands on it. Feces are on it. Okay? When you switch the switch light, if you have to turn the light switch on, it's got feces on it. When you try to get out of the door, the handle has feces on it. When you walk to the bathroom stall, it has feces on it. When you open the bathroom stall, it has feces on it. When you sit on the toilet seat, it has feces on it. And when you sit and you wipe your booty and you flush the toilet, it has feces on it. When you go turn the water faucet on, you know it's got feces on it because everybody's already used the bathroom. Now they're turning the water on. And as soon as they turn it back off again after they wash their hands, now they got feces back on their hands again. That's what happens with it. Then you go to the Dyson dryer. The Dyson dryer is so small when you put your hands in it, your hands touch both sides of that dryer. I don't care how hard you try, it gets slammed against the side of the dryer. So now you got feces back on your hands from all the other feces on it. So it's just ridiculous. The whole place is a big feces room. And you know, it's all covered in poop, all of it. And so here's what you do. You walk into the bathroom, you grab a paper towel, you open the stall door. Actually, what I do is I walk into the bathroom and I wash my hands if I have to turn a knob to get into the bathroom. Then I wash my hands first, but I put a paper towel under my arm first, wash my hands, dry my hands, use the paper towel to turn off the feces faucet, take the paper towel to open the feces door, step into the bathroom and put that little paper thing down the best you possibly can and do what you need to do, get out. Then I use the paper towel to flush the toilet. Then I come back out, use a paper towel again to get the faucet turned back on. So the whole time I got a paper towel in my hand. So when I go into a bathroom, all it has is a Dyson air dryer. It's irritating because now I got to touch the feces door to get out because I got to pull it forward towards me. So now I got a feces door I got to touch. So then I got to go back in and I got to grab toilet paper to open the feces door. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so when I go in there and they don't have towels, what I do is I wash my hands with the toilet paper on the knob. Wash my hands really good, turn the water back off with the toilet paper, and use the toilet paper now to open the door to get out. Because everything's a giant pile of feces in a bathroom. If you don't believe it, do your own test on it and go figure it out. That's why so many people now, Austin, have taken the doors off the bathrooms.
Yep.
They've taken the handles off the sinks, and they've taken the handles off the toilets. So you no longer have to flush the toilet using your hand. You no longer have to open the door to get out. And you no longer have to use your hands to turn on the faucets. And now, what I love, especially here in Central Florida, where everybody likes to, you know, we have more water than we know what to do with in this state, but they go in now and they turn the water pressure down so it barely drips. It barely drips. And you're supposed to wash your hand in that because they're trying to save water bills. And you know, Disney's one of the worst with that. They put those little aerators on the sinks so you can't get any pressure out. So if I can unscrew the aerator with my hand, if it's loose, I'll unscrew the aerator and wash my hands and put the aerator by the sink. They just, somebody else can put it back on if they want it. It's ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. And we wonder why so many people are so sick. And it's because of these public bathrooms are so filthy, Austin. They really are.
I got a kick out of it because you're right. I've used the Dysons before. I'm probably everybody has. When you go to put your hands in them, it's like you look at it and you're like, man, all right, see if I can. It's like playing Operation. You're trying to get your hands in it without touching anything. Then the air comes on, and you're kind of like, whoa, and then you pull it back out, and you just try and get it out clean, and then the, like, back side of your hand touches it, and you're like, oh, man, I did it again.
So what I do with the Dyson, I just walk out with my hands wet. I don't even use the thing.
Yeah, I've done that a lot, too, yeah.
Here's another article. Ignore this mineral, and your natural sleep rhythms of night and day will be affected. And again, it talks about magnesium. I'm telling you guys, magnesium is so critical for every part of your body. Over 300 biochemical reactions occur from magnesium. Make sure you take magnesium every single day. You take it orally. Magnesium glycinate's a good form. But better than that, if you stack them together, it's the best, is to use our magnesium chloride bath salt. Soak your feet in them and for an hour a day. Unbelievable magnesium uptake through that. I do it every single day. And you feel great, your energy goes through the roof, and you can talk as fast as me sometimes. And so that's what happens when you get magnesium in your system. You get high enough quantities of magnesium in your system. Magnesium is absolutely critical for your health. It's one of the most important, if not the most important mineral you're going to get into your body. So you have to get it. And by the way, the show today has been brought to you by healthmasters.com. And don't fuss at me because I haven't mentioned it one time, and we're 50 minutes in. Healthmasters.com. Sign up for our free newsletters. I appreciate it when you do that. Go buy something from us. We've got a special right now. Doug Book, D-O-U-G-B-O-O-K. You can, it's for Doug Hagman. It's book. And what you say is put Doug Book into the coupon section and you'll get a free book with any order. It doesn't matter if it's a $5 order or a $100 order or a $500 order. It's a $20 book. It's yours for free when you order Doug's book. If you order $100 worth of stuff, it's basically a 20% discount, and you get free shipping on it at that level at $100. So healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com, and learn how to stay healthy and learn basically what the right kind of nutrients are for your body. What's your next story, Oz?
This one I wanted to address because this is interesting. We've seen this slowly encroach on our Second Amendment rights, and it's becoming more and more prevalent in more states now. The governor of the U.S. territory of Northern Mariana Islands has imposed a $1,000 gun tax earlier this month now, an idea first endorsed by the one and only Hillary Clinton in 1993. Steep gun taxes have now taken hold in Cook County, City of Seattle, and now this U.S. territory. It started as now a provision that assesses a $1,000 excise tax on any and all pistols sold, which most people don't realize. That seems like, $1,000, this and that. Guys, a brand new decent Glock, you know, a Glock 19 brand new is like $550 retail. You're talking about paying twice as much money for the cost of the gun for this stupid excise tax, which you have to understand, this has nothing to do with preventing crime in any way, nor will they see any decrease in crime in any way. All this does is prevent law-abiding citizens who actually need guns to protect themselves the means to unable to obtain them because of the cost. They completely block these people from having the means. Most people can't afford to go spend $1,600 on a Glock now. $500, probably affordable. $1,600 with sales tax now, not so much. And remember, about 2 years ago, you can look it up, they did a research study with convicted felons that were in prison for some type of violent crime with a firearm. They found that only 2% of those individuals said they got the gun through a legally purchased method. 2%, guys. 2%. And it was a pretty large portion of these felons that they went through these prisons and asked them. 2%. This shows you that has nothing to do with it. Seattle, their gun tax, which started this year as well, is $25 extra on every firearm. See, that's how they incrementally do it. I don't know how this U.S. territory of Northern Mariana Islands got away with doing such an abrupt tax, but Seattle has now $25 extra tax on it, and now they've also added a 5-cent tax per every round of ammunition, which that is huge, by the way, especially when you start getting to the heavier caliber stuff like .308 and .762. I mean, you're talking about really increasing the cost on a box of 100 rounds of ammunition plus. Now, also, too, Cook County, Illinois, gun and ammunition tax started June 1st this year. It will be starting in about 2 months. Cook County's new ammunition tax takes effect as another 5 cents per round of ammo, and also an ammo tax comes on top of the existing tax regimen of $25 per gun. Let me know how that works for you guys in Chicago, because you guys have absolutely no gun crime at all. I don't know how you do it. It's so amazing. So let me know how this works for you guys, making it more expensive, because I guess it's just impossible for criminals to go to another state and come back with ammunition. That's pretty difficult to figure out how that's done. I don't know.
You think about it, though, Austin. You could buy a brick of 22 ammo, 1,000 rounds, for next to nothing. They're so cheap.
Oh, yeah.
You get a brick of 22,000 rounds of ammo of 22, it's $50 in tax.
That's true, yeah. $50
in tax for a brick, a box. You end up spending as much money on the brick of ammo as you just spend on the thing. Let's change topics real quick. Japan's economy is grinding to a halt after earthquake paralyzes critical supply chain. This is from Zero Hedge. Earlier today, Toyota was one of the many Japanese companies to announce that it will suspend almost all of their car production across Japan as a result of a critical supply chain disruption caused by the most recent destructive earthquake and numerous aftershocks. The earthquakes on Thursday and Saturday, which killed at least 41 people, reflected the vulnerability of the Japanese economies to supply chains. Now, here's what's interesting to me about this. Now, this is just speculation. I have no idea if this is true. This is wild, idle speculation. How do we know that Japan isn't fighting against the Rothschild banking cartel and the New World Order and this new currency that's coming out from China. And now we're going to punish them again and do another earthquake because we have the ability to do that with our earthquake weapons. There is, we know we can do earthquake weapons. Now, whether we did it here or not, I don't know. I've covered this in detail on the Hagmann Show. Here's another one. Ecuador earthquake has killed at least 246 people with many, many, many still trapped. This is just going on and on and on. And guys, you know, I know there's going to be earthquakes. Jesus said that's going to happen in the end times. See, that's probably what's going to happen before he comes back, and pretty much that's what it says. But I don't know. But there's an awful lot of earthquakes going on right now. Austin, what do you think?
Yes, and please keep everybody up in prayers down there in Ecuador as well. My father-in-law, which is Lana's dad, he is a missionary in Ecuador, and her mom is back right now for the birth of the baby, but he was still in Ecuador. He's still down there during the earthquake. He was blessed. He was safe. He was okay. He got out of the house, shook a ton of stuff in the house, beat a bunch of stuff off the walls. They had a lot of roads collapse, bridges collapses, mudslides. So, yeah, keep those guys in prayers over there and in Japan. I mean, that's rough, those earthquakes. I mean, when they start happening like that, regardless of how they happen, it's rough. And, you know, we live in Florida, so we kind of don't get those ever.
So, we're a sandbar.
Down there, it's taking them a lot.
Well, the only thing we'd have to worry about is if we had a major plate shift in the Atlantic, which there aren't that many active plates there, and have a massive tidal wave come over the whole state, which that would be kind of yuck. John Moore kind of thinks that might happen in Florida, and if it does, life goes on. I guess I won't be broadcasting that day.
We all know what happened.
No, that's true. But guys, I want to thank you. We're almost out of time. I know our music's fixing to get started, and I just want to let you guys know that I appreciate you, that we love you, and you guys are awesome. And again, if you want to get a free book with any order, order a toothpaste, you get a free book. We prefer you order more than that, but that's the deal. It's called Doug Book. Put it in the coupon section, and you can get a free book sent to you. And with an order of over $100, it'll be basically freight free, including the book. No extra charge for the book shipping. We appreciate you again. Healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. I hope you enjoyed this highly energetic show. Those are my bathroom escapades. Austin, go ahead and close. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate it. And like I said, if you want that book, just put that Doug Book in the coupon code, and you're good to go. If you need anything, give us a call or email us. We'll be back on the show tomorrow. As always, you guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.